everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for downloading this episode of the Corner Office Podcast. Home Depot is probably best known as a place to go for whatever remodeling needs you have. Well, and it does well because of that, but that's not the only reason the company is thriving in this Amazon age. It has decided to become, and has become, in fact, one of the biggest e-commerce businesses in the United States. I sat down to talk with the Home Depot CEO, Craig Menear, to talk about this and a bunch of other stuff. Here you go, Craig Menear.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Craig Menear, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Should say, first of all, it is the Home Depot, right?
Yes.
As correct. Opposed to just Home Depot, which everybody calls it.
Yep. No, it's the Home Depot on the logo.
When you walk into one of your stores, what do you see? I mean, as you walk in there, as the guy running the place, what are you looking for? What do you see?
Really two things. Looking for product, and is product presented as the hero, if you will, in the business. And then looking always for our associates, to connect with our associates.
What does it mean for the product to be the hero? That is, I've interviewed a gazillion CEOs and not one has ever said that.
Well, in the retail business, the reason customers come to us is to buy product. So, you know, product helps solve problems in our business. Product helps to create aspirational dreams in our business. And so is the product presented in such a way that creates excitement for the customer and, you know, likewise, candidly, for our associates, because we want to get them fired up to sell it.
Okay. So when I go into a Home Depot, and maybe this is just me, but I'll bet you it's no small portion of your shoppers. It's not dreams we're looking for, man. It's that 3x5 piece of plywood that we can fit in the back of the van to fix the thing we need. So, you know where I'm going, right? So how do you translate the mundane and rudimentary into, and I get it what you're saying, dreams, right? But how do you do that?
Well, there's lots of different customers that we serve in our business. Obviously, the customer who's coming in looking for that piece of plywood to fix that problem, or maybe it is that faucet repair item to fix that annoying dripping faucet. Clearly, we have to take care of those customers. But then we also have the customers coming in to transform a room, and they're looking for a new paint color. They're looking for the latest in flooring that will transform how their bedroom looks or how their living room looks. And that's what I'm talking about when we help the customer create new dreams in their home.
We should say here that you have been at Home Depot for 20 years, plus or minus, and you started as a product and merchandising guy, which gets you, I guess, a long way toward the whole, this is building somebody's dream.
Right. Yes, I did. I started as a merchant. Actually, I bought all the products inside our tool corral.
So like hammers and nails and drills and those kinds of things?
All those good things, yep.
What is your, I guess worst nightmare, right? But what's the thing that keeps you up at night?
Actually, the thing that keeps me up right now is the amount of change that's happening in our business. And being able to continue to make the change that we need to have happen to stay ahead of where the customer is taking us and be able to continue to execute at the level we've been executing at.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned change because I was doing some research, obviously, before we sat down. Home Depot is like the fourth largest e-commerce vendor out there, right? You guys do billions and billions of dollars online, which it doesn't seem like, you know, plywood online would be a thing.
No,
I know you guys sell more than plywood. I'm using that as a good example.
No, we do. We have a large e-commerce business that candidly is connected to our physical stores. It's what we call interconnected retail. The front door of our store is no longer at the front door of our store. It's truly in the customer's pocket. It's on the job site. It's on, you know, when they're sitting on their couch. The shopping experience in most categories starts in the digital world, even if it finishes in the physical world now.
So people go and they browse and then they swing by the store and pick up whatever it is.
Yep, absolutely. Or in some cases, certain products, some customers choose to have it sent to them.
Yeah. Are you guys cyclical in any way? I mean, do you do better in the summertime than in the winter, or are people fixing up stuff year round?
No, we do have a season to our business. Our busiest time of the year is in our second quarter, which is the springtime. That's when all the projects happen and people are working both inside and outside, and it's our busiest time.
Yeah, and then also I would imagine, not to take a more somber turn here, but I would imagine that hurricanes and you know, natural disasters. I mean, those kinds of things see a demand for your product, yeah.
They do, and we try to make sure that we're there for the communities to help them recover. But yes, it does create demand.
What is it about this space that's been attractive to you? I mean, you've been at IKEA, you've been at a bunch of different places. Why this slice of the economy for you?
So I've been in retail my entire career, somewhat by accident, but I love it. I absolutely love it. What I love about it is every day you wake up, you look at the sales results, customers voting on how well you did the day before. It's a fast-moving, fast-paced environment, and in this business, you either love it or you hate it, and I just find it incredibly energizing.
Do you read sales reports every day? Is that like the thing you check when you wake up on your phone?
That is the first thing I do in
really?
The morning. Yes, sir.
And then,
even before coffee.
Wow. And then if something doesn't match, do you call a regional manager or something?
I usually don't do that, but we'd actually will, you know, every week we have an operational meeting to look at what went well, what didn't go well, what do we need to adjust. But yeah, that is the first thing in the morning.
How important is a scale to you? I mean, it seems like Home Depots are everywhere, but there is growth opportunity. Where do you look for that and how do you go about it?
So we actually believe scale is very important. And while we've been growing and really growing nicely over the past 8 years or so, that has been without adding new stores. We stopped building really new stores in 2007, 2008. And it has all been about how do you drive productivity and expansion with the asset base that we have. And then, as you mentioned earlier, we have a pretty large e-commerce business. That business has largely been incremental for us. So we're growing both in-store and online at the same time.
How sensitive are you to fluctuations in the economy? I mean, if consumers aren't feeling, you know, hopeful about things, they're not going to redo their bathrooms.
Sure. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, when we think about our business, we start with GDP as the foundation. And then for us, we layer in on top the tailwind that we've had from housing for the past several years. Yeah. And that gives us a foundational base for what we think is going to happen in the business. And then all growth above those two things are really what we're taking in terms of share.
So how are you feeling now with the tax bill happening and the economy, you know, reasonably strong?
So we feel good about the environment. We're very fortunate. The customer's willing to spend in our space. We've been, give or take, 200 basis points of comp generated from the tailwind in housing. That's really been around household formation.
In layman's terms, it's 2%, right?
Yeah, 2%. Yes, right. Thank you. So 2% growth really from household formation, home values. And if you think about home values, when home values are increasing, customers feel good about investing in their home.
Yeah.
When the downturn happened in, you know, late 2007, 2008, home values were declining. And so that kitchen countertop was no longer considered an investment. It became an expense and they stopped doing it.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the tax bill?
Well, you know what? We've been a proponent for tax reform for quite some time. And we feel that anything that will put more money in the consumer's pocket and will drive growth in the GDP will be a good thing overall, and we as a retailer should benefit from that. So we're feeling very positive about it.
You're looking at a big cut in the corporate tax rate. What are you going to do with that money?
Well, we just announced that we're basically doubling the investment in our business to roughly over $11 billion in the next 3 years to continue to make sure that we're relevant for our customers, that we're driving to this interconnected retail space that we think wins in the long run. And so that will be certainly, you know, spent in the business driving that kind of investment.
What does that mean, driving investment in your business?
So we're gonna invest both in stores. So when you think about our stores, we have to have both a great physical experience when a customer chooses to get in their vehicle and come to the Home Depot. They need to have a great experience. And then we also have to invest in capabilities to connect in the interconnected world. So 45% of the orders that customers generate on HomeDepot.com, they actually choose to pick up in our stores. So we need to make sure that's a great experience. We want to improve the speed at checkout at the front of the store. And then we're continuing to invest in our supply chain. Over the past several years, we've built a supply chain that moves goods very efficiently from our suppliers to our DCs and stores. We need to continue to create an advantage in moving goods from our stores and DCs to our customers. And we'll make major investment roughly over the next 5 years, a $1.2 billion investment in continuing to enhance our supply chain.
You also announced a big stock buyback not too long ago, right?
Part of our capital allocation program has included buybacks, but basically, the way we think about capital allocation in the business, we start with what does it take to invest in the business to do what's necessary to drive the customer experience. Then we look at we have roughly a 55% payout on our dividend. And then based on the balance of free cash flow, if it makes sense, we'll continue to buy back stock.
Who's your competition? Lowe's, I imagine, and who else?
Our competition is multiple players. We compete against home improvement retailers. We compete against, building material suppliers. We compete against digital competitors. So we have over 220 categories of goods that we sell in our stores, and there are different competitors in each of those categories.
You know, it's funny. So 220 categories, each of which have probably, it seems to me every time I go in that store, like 1,000 items in them, right? So there's more product there that you can shake a stick at.
We carry on average about 30 to 35,000 stocked items in a store.
And I feel every one of them. What was the last thing you bought? What was the last thing you bought at a Home Depot?
Actually, the last thing I bought at Home Depot was LED lights.
For what? For a tree or for the house or what?
No. To replace recessed can lights in my house and convert them to LED.
Gotcha. Craig Menear, he's the CEO of the Home Depot. Mr. Menear, thanks very much for your time, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So that's it for my chat with Craig Menear, the CEO of the Home Depot. Thanks for listening and for, as I know you will, leaving us a review. It does help a lot. Oh, and if you're visiting family this week, maybe give them the gift of recommending your favorite Corner Office podcast. We would appreciate it. This episode of the podcast was produced by Daisy Palacios. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. We'll see you next time.